This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The midterms in New York State and Pennsylvania, the Keystone State and the Empire State. One midterm is a governor's race. And we go immediately to Lee Zeldin of New York, a member of the Republican Party, and Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, who inherited the post after the disgraced Andrew Cuomo stepped aside. Dan Henniger's here to take us to the surprise of Mr. Zeldin's presentation before Governor Hochul. Dan, this is a blue state. This is a Democratic state. You and I have been here decades. It really isn't a complaint. It's just a fact. Lee Zeldin knows that. He got into the race anyway. And the surprise is that he did, not that he did so well in the debate, he's very sharp, but that there's no enthusiasm for Governor Hochul, despite the fact that she's the odds-on favorite. Can you explain that lack of enthusiasm? Good evening to you, Dan.
Hi there, John. Well, I think the lack of enthusiasm can be for Governor Hochul, the Democrat running for the governorship, can be generalized across the midterm election. Four Democratic candidates virtually everywhere, and, you know, political reporters, analysts have been looking hard. There is just a lack of energy and enthusiasm behind the Democratic ticket and message. The short version or explanation for that is inflation. It's hard for them to come up with an explanation. The White House has been struggling to explain inflation. And so there's just no drive behind the Democratic ticket. And that extends to Governor Hochul. Governor Hochul's problem, specific to New York, is that there is a lot of crime in the city. And the residents of New York City and the state, indeed, are acutely aware of it. This is why Eric Adams was elected mayor. He was a Democrat, but he ran against the progressives. He drew most of his vote from most of the most crime-ridden neighborhoods around New York City, North Manhattan, the Bronx, Queens, East Brooklyn. Those are the people who elected Eric Adams, who ran as a moderate. Kathy Hochul, in that debate with Lee Zeldin, was pressed by Mr. Zeldin to answer why she is so opposed to, quote, locking up criminals. And Governor Hochul kept going to a kind of progressive talking point, which was it's all about illegal guns. And when Mr. Zeldin pressed her some more, she said, I don't know why you keep coming back to this point. It was a killer moment. And it was, because what it reveals is that Governor Hochul so badly needs the progressive vote in New York City. That is where Democrats in New York win now, with this huge liberal progressive vote in New York City, that she's utterly fearful of alienating them by saying something that would go against orthodoxy on issues like incarceration or social justice. So she locked up and pretty much left it to Mr. Zeldin, and he drove a truck right through it to pound that issue. So, yeah, John, we may be looking at the prospect of Mr. Zeldin pulling off something really, really unlikely, especially now. We had George Pataki, who was a Republican governor of New York. That was many years ago. But for Mr. Zeldin to have any chance of doing it now would really reflect a shift going on deeply across the board with voters.
Dan, at the editorial board, you've seen elections after election and surprises. Were you surprised that Kathy Hochul wasn't better prepared for that crime issue?
No, I don't think I was terribly surprised. She's been tiptoeing around it for some time. She's been very careful across the board. She's sort of coming across as a standard brand politician. But she should have known that he was going to hit her on this, and she just wasn't prepared. I mean, he knows, he has said that one of his first acts will be to fire the Manhattan district attorney, Alvin Bragg. It's the only way district attorneys in New York City can be removed, and that's by authority of the governor. There is no recall. She knew that was coming. And as I say, I think she's just so fearful of alienating the progressive vote that she has a difficult time squaring that position with what more moderate voters have on their minds right now. And I have to say, John, this is a problem for the Democratic Party. You could see it in Georgia Senate race, Raphael Warnock versus Herschel Walker. Senator Warnock had a very hard time connecting his progressive principles with the moderate vote in Georgia. And the same thing is going on in Wisconsin in the Senate race there between Ron Johnson and the progressive Mandela Barnes. This will be a reckoning if it works out that a lot of these progressive candidates end up losing. The Democratic Party is going to have to step back and try to think of what they have attached themselves to the past 2 years and whether it's time to change those affiliations.
Another progressive candidate who is Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania is surprised, Dan, and I read your column, that you also were surprised by the presentation that Mr. Fetterman made on the debate stage. We'd all known that he'd had a stroke. What surprised you in particular, Dan? Because I have heard from people who say they just couldn't watch it.
Well, I don't think anyone expected Mr. Fetterman to have to struggle as badly as he did. We know that having a stroke is an awful thing. It can do terrible damage to a human being. But it's possible to recover with steady daily rehabilitation. And I think the expectation was that Mr. Fetterman would walk out and show some effects of the stroke, but show enough progress that he could behave or perform like a legitimate Senate candidate. He did not do that. I mean, everyone, I think, agrees that the performance was way below a degree of recovery that one might have expected at this point. So this has got to disconcert Democrats. And as we know, John, I think we've talked about this before, back after he had the stroke in May and stopped campaigning for months, some Democrats in that state were asking, should Mr. Fetterman step aside and let somebody else run in his place, say Representative Connor Lamb. Be all that as it may, I think nonetheless, it was pretty clear that Mr. Fetterman is a man of the left. And his most difficult moment came when the issue of fracking for natural gas came up. This was really interesting, John, because Dr. Oz kept coming back to the issue of fracking, which really suggests it's a big subject in Western Pennsylvania. And he sees some benefit in coming out in favor of fracking. And Fetterman struggled through one of his worst answers to say he's for fracking, when in fact, we see on the record in 2018, he gave an interview saying that he is totally opposed to it. That was a contradiction, all stroke effects aside, that I think John Fetterman is going to have a very difficult time overcoming. He allowed Mehmet Oz to put on a strong performance. I thought his closing statement was remarkably strong. So this, a race that was within 2 points, could really go into the Republican column. The Democrats expected this to be a pickup because Republican Senator Pat Toomey is retiring. And, wow, John, it now looks as though maybe the Republicans are going to hold a Pennsylvania. And if they do, it probably means they're going to win control of the Senate.
That would be a shocker, Dan, that it would turn on the non-transparency of the Fetterman campaign and the either indifference or lack of preparation or quality of candidate if New York would go to a Republican candidate. But we're prepared for shocks. Daniel Henniger, he's the deputy editor of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. His column is Wonderland. I'm John Batchelor.